Well, amen. Open your Bibles, please, to Genesis chapter 25. I'm going to continue my short series on practical prayer pointers this evening. And I told Michael, I said, you have come on the right service. We're having the Lord's Supper, and I'm preaching on husbands and wives, just exactly what you need. And but I do want to continue this series, just practical down-to-earth principles for us, practical prayer pointers. And tonight's lesson is on praying for your spouse. Let's stand together, Genesis 25 and verse number 19. And these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Padan-Aram, the sister to Laban the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. And the children struggled together within her. And she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. I truly hope that this year will be a year in which we discover or rediscover the power of prayer. We pray too little about everything. Prayer is our last resort most of the time. And I think that we need a revival of personal and public prayer, and a revival of faith in the God who hears and answers our prayer. It would really be something in 2020 if every aspect of our church was covered by a net of prayer. Wouldn't it be something if every person in the church was prayed for by several different people every day of the week? That if you take one child in our church and you have that child's parents praying for that child and grandparents praying for that child and siblings praying for that child and a Sunday school teacher praying for that child, junior church leaders praying for that child, the pastor mentioning that child in prayer every day, you can't tell me that would not make a difference throughout our church. I know I'd like to be prayed for by several people every day. And yet, do our teachers pray? Do our leaders pray? Do our parents pray? You know, and by the way, you can just throw a few extra church members in there too. That doesn't hurt. Do we pray or do we just hope that things will turn out good? In our series, we've been trying to make prayer very practical, pointed, and intelligent. We need to believe that God hears our prayers. That's faith. We also need to know how to pray and what to pray for. And so that has been our emphasis. In our first lesson, we emphasized praying for yourself. That was Jabez's prayer. Jabez prayed, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from the evil, that it may not grieve me. There's nothing wrong with us praying for ourselves if we want to be better for Christ and better husbands and fathers and servants of God. And there's nothing wrong with asking God to bless you indeed when you want to use your blessed life to be a blessing to others. And so it's important for us to pray for ourselves, to ask for wisdom, to ask for power, strength, guidance, and answers for the things that we need. You ought to have some goals this year and turn those into prayer requests. And you ought to examine your life and pray for the different aspects of your life. You're a Christian, you're a man, you're a woman, you're a husband, a wife, a mother, a father, a teacher, etc. And ask God daily to help you to bless you indeed in those areas. Secondly, we mentioned the emphasis of praying for our kids. And that was Job's prayer. We saw that Job set the example with his integrity. It does us no good to pray for our kids to do right if we're setting a bad example for them. Okay. So Job first had integrity. He was perfect, upright, feared God, eschewed evil. We saw that Job was involved. When they're having their little feasts in their houses, Job went and sanctified them. He made sure that everything was kosher, so to speak. Made sure everything was right. He didn't mind them having little parties, but he wanted to make sure that they were righteous
parties and good get-togethers and a good environment for his kids to be in. And so he sent and sanctified his kids. And by the way, thank God for fathers who have enough courage to say no to their children in their own household. Now, some kids don't like that because they got a rebellious streak. But you know what? Fathers need to be the men in their families and sanctify their homes and say no when it's time to say no. But Job, his kids were doing the right things, and so he had the integrity, he had the involvement. But we also saw that he interceded by offering burnt sacrifices for each of them, because he said it may be that they have sinned against God and cursed God in their hearts. He was not naive about his kids. He knew that they were sinners, just like all of our kids are sinners, but we sometimes are naive about it, aren't we? My kid wouldn't do that. Job wasn't that naive, was he? And he knew that they might even sin, and he didn't know it. So he prayed that God would have mercy on them, even for sins that in their hearts that he was not aware of. And so we emphasize the importance of being proactive, being persistent, praying for our children, not waiting for the emergency, but praying for good things now. Proactive praying. What is the definition of proactive? Reactive is I hit you back. Proactive is I hit you first. And we need to be proactive Christians, not just wait for emergencies to come to us, but to face life proactively praying about things before there's even an emergency. And I'll say a few things more about that this evening. But tonight I want to give you some practical prayer pointers dealing with praying for your spouse. And I realize everyone doesn't have a spouse in the room, just like everyone doesn't have kids in the room. But some of you hope to have a spouse one day, and I hope that you'll determine to be a Christian spouse and pray for your wife or husband when you are fortunate enough to get one. Amen. Maybe you should start praying now. First you pray to have a spouse, then you pray for your spouse. A married Christian ought to pray for his or her spouse daily. You ought to consider that an obligation. Why wouldn't we pray for our spouses? The same reason we don't pray for anybody else. Because we just don't feel the need to pray until there is an emergency upon us, and then we dial 911 to God. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with praying in emergencies, and I'm glad that I have a good 911 number to God. I'm just saying that's not the only time we should pray. We should be praying for health when we're healthy. You should be praying for finances when you have money, not just waiting for emergencies to come. If you love someone, pray for them. And I believe that a Christian spouse is obligated to pray consistently for his or her spouse, and that we fail them. We fail them when we do not pray for them. Now, tonight's example is the prayer of Isaac. And I love this passage in Genesis because both the husband and the wife are praying to God separately, and both got an answer. Isaac entreats the Lord for his wife, and she conceives. Rebekah is then troubled because a cage match is going on inside her womb, and so she goes to the Lord, and the Lord answers her. And so, family prayers are great, but let's not think that the wife does not have the same access to the throne of grace as her husband does. Every man or woman born again has the same 24/7 access to the throne of grace. And this lady, Rebecca, who was a believer, she went to the Lord. She was troubled about what was taking place. She didn't understand what was going on inside of her. And so she asked God, and God answered her. I just think it's important for us to understand that every child of God has the same access. Folks, I do not have a VIP access as a pastor. We all, as born-again children of God, have the same access because of Jesus Christ. And every one of us can pray and know that God hears our prayers. Now, we do have here Isaac's entreaty for his wife. And I'm limited to this prayer because it's hard to find spousal prayers in the Bible. The only other one I can think of is Zechariah, the husband of Elizabeth, when the angel told him, "Your prayer is heard." I think he'd given up that prayer a long time ago. They were both too old to have children. The angel reminded, "Your prayer was heard. Now you're going to have a child." But now don't spend the rest of the service trying to find a passage. All right, let's pay attention to what we're at. I asked a pastor friend today, can you think of any other examples of a husband praying specifically for his wife or the wife or the husband? And he couldn't think of any either. So this is our great example here of Isaac entreating the Lord for his wife. And I'm going to begin here and then I'll expand on it with some practical pointers for us this evening. Number one, I'll give you 3 points this evening. Number one, in God's divine plan, Isaac and Rebecca had to pray for what others got without prayer. Isaac and Rebecca had to pray for what others got without prayer. You say, what do you mean? Well, you look back in chapter... Well, let me just say this. What did they want? A baby. A child. They went 20 years. Okay, Isaac was 40 when they got married. And he was 60 when the twins were born. How many decades is that? Just checking. And so he had 20 years... between their marriage and the birth of the twins. So you think this is 19 years because you got to have about 9 months before the baby's born. That's usually how it works. And so 19, 20 years, that means that 20 wedding anniversaries have passed. 20 Mother's Days have passed. And I know they didn't have Mother's Days. Just put it in our terms today. 20 Mother's Days have passed. He's 60. We don't know how old she was, but we can assume that she's in her late 30s or 40s. The biological clock is ticking. And you know that when you're a young married couple, you get teased about when you're going to have kids. Right? We all tease young married couples that way. But after 20 years, you're not teasing people anymore, are you? Now, it's just something you don't talk about. Because you know it's going to be something that's painful. So this couple, they want to have children. They're in the promise line. They have the promise of God upon Abraham and his seed, and yet they have no children of their own. And the conclusion that they have arrived at in verse number 21, it says, because she was barren. She was barren. Now you have to contrast this with the rest of chapter 25, because everyone else in the chapter is having kids by the half dozen. Okay? In verses 1 through 4, you have Abraham getting remarried. He married Keturah. Abraham is an old codger. And yet he and his new wife have 6 sons during the time frame in which Isaac and Rebekah have 0. Then it gives the lineage of Ishmael. And Ishmael, the rejected brother of half-brother of Isaac, he has 12 sons. Do you think Ishmael prayed to the Lord for kids? Do you think Abraham prayed for more kids? I don't know. At least there is no evidence of it. My point tonight is this, that what others seem to be getting without prayer and without even God's blessing upon them, and even with godlessness, like in Ishmael's family, Isaac and Rebekah have to pray for. It would have been easy to get bitter over 20 years towards God not having a child. Y'all with me tonight? I have told this story many times related to this. And as some of you know, probably recognize the story. But this preacher up in Iowa or Indiana, I think Iowa, he and his wife couldn't have any children for years. And his wife got real depressed about this. And one day they're out making a visit out in the country. I mean, there's just shack of a house. And I mean, there was just a filthy house, animals inside of it. And they have like 5 or 6 kids and they're not cared for. They're all dirty. And there's a little bitty baby boy walking around with his diaper all loaded down. And he's just filthy and no one cared about him. And the wife looked at these kids and saw how they're not being cared for. And she said, a little bit of bitterness began to grow in my heart that they have kids and here we are serving God and praying and yet God has not given us any children. That bitterness began to really work in this pastor's wife's heart. And eventually she had to face up to that and deal with that. And then one day they went to visit a very well-known pastor and asked to be anointed with oil and from the book of James and that he would pray over them, that they would have children. And so he put a little olive oil on their foreheads and prayed that God would give them children. And they ended up having 7 children. And the pastor always said, I knew I used too much oil. Not 7 at once. That just opened the floodgate. But I'm just pointing out how easy it would be to become bitter when you see Ishmael having 12 kids and even old Grandpa Abraham's having 6 kids over here. And you keep going back to the family reunions and Christmas time and Thanksgiving. And there's all these kids and feeling that burden of not having children. And you ask, why is that? Why don't Isaac and Rebecca have children? Why do they have to come around now to pray and inquire to have a child? And I don't have answers to all these things. Why does God seem to withhold from the righteous sometimes? Something that's troubled believers all the way back into the Bible. When you read some of the Psalms, such as Asaph's Psalms and sometimes David's Psalms, and how troubled they were by the apparent prosperity of the ungodly while the righteous seem to suffer. I've just come to the conclusion we have to let God run the world. Amen. My mother got me a Christmas present. It's a little magnetic thing you plug in. It's got the globe of the earth. She doesn't know the earth's flat. Okay, the earth's not flat. And so it's got this magnetic ball on top, and it's got a magnet in the base. And you're supposed to put the earth in there just right so it hovers between the two magnets. And so I keep getting it in there, but something will bump up against it and it falls. Boom, boom. So before church tonight, I'm trying to get this globe in there, and a little too hot. And I thought, I can't even hang this globe between two magnets. I guess I better let God run the world. Amen. He's got the whole world in His hands, and I can't even hang this between two magnets and get it right. But I don't have all the answers, folks. And if we're honest, none of us have all the answers. Why do the righteous sometimes seem to go without? And the Ishmael, the donkey man of this world, he's got a dozen kids. And yet the righteous seed, they don't have the children that they want to have. Have to go and ask God for it. The bottom line is that Isaac and Rebekah, the couple in the lineage of the Messiah, did not have a child until the husband prayed for the wife. And the bottom line for us is this: it may be that you and your spouse are not going to get your heart's desire until you get serious about praying about it. Other people may get what they want when they want it, and it may seem that they get things easy and you go without. And you may say that's not fair, but I say God is always fair and God is just and God is right. And you and I are Christians. Shame on us for not praying, not shame on us for God not giving us what we haven't asked for. So we need to... Now, it may be that even when we pray, we don't get our answers, but at least we know that we've prayed. I don't know why God sometimes withholds children from couples that it's their heart's desire. It's heartbreak. I've seen marriages break up over it. I don't have the answers to all that. I think maybe sometimes God wants people to adopt or get foster children. I don't know. I do know that we ought to pray. Amen? And we ought to pray. Number two. Prayer should be our first option, not our last resort. Now, in verse 20, Isaac is 40 years old when he marries Rebekah. In verse 26, Isaac is 60 when the twins are born. And so you have 19 to 20 years there. And it may be that Isaac has entreated the Lord many times during this time. But just reading verse 21 on its surface, it implies to me that he is finally entreating the Lord and getting an answer concerning this. I do know this, that we tend to forget about prayer until we have completely run out of every other option. And prayer should not be our last resort. Prayer should be our first option. We ought to make it a matter of prayer in the beginning, not wait until the end. That's the major point in this series, is to be proactive in our prayers, not just reacting and waiting for emergencies, and when everything else has failed, then we turn to God, but to put God first and make things a matter of prayer early. Now, again, I got to say this. That doesn't mean you're going to get everything you ask for. Okay? God's not a slot machine. He's not a candy machine. That's the better term. You don't put 50 cents of prayer in and push D3 and get your request. That's not how it works. But at least when you have prayed, you know that you have prayed and brought your petition to the Lord. And you have not. Why? Because you ask not. What is James? We consume things in our lust. We try all these things in our own power and strength, but we have not because we ask not. And so we should always make things a matter of prayer early in our desires, and not just at the end. Pray first and pray often. Number three, Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife, and God answered his prayer. Verse 21 says, Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. The word entreat means to intercede for or earnestly pray on behalf of someone else. Now they both shared this desire, but I think it's important that it says he entreated the Lord for his wife. It doesn't say he entreated the Lord for a child. He prayed for her, and God gave them a child. And that's my emphasis tonight. To pray for your spouse. You may not know what your wife's heart's desire is. You might have to ask. I think he knew. He prayed for her, and she conceived. As Christians, we are not limited to one big prayer for one big need. The throne of grace has opened us. We have a Bible full of promises about prayer we need to put to work. And Christian spouses ought to be praying for their husbands or wives consistently. So, what I've been trying to do in this series, just the next 5 minutes or so, I've been trying to help you build a prayer list. Okay? Just a petition. And just some ideas on things you can pray for consistently. I gave you a list for your kids. I shared my list of 22 years for my kids. And so, here's a few things. If your spouse is not saved, you should pray for their conversion to Christ. Absolutely. Number two, you should pray for your spouse's health. This is particularly important for the husband to pray for his wife's health. She is the weaker vessel. And there are a lot of health concerns, especially during the childbearing years. And then middle age, and then old age. Just be honest. There's some difficult times. And when your wife is pregnant, you need to pray hard for her. When she is taking care of little kids or teenagers. I mean, we need to pray for our wives' health. There are so many things that can go wrong. And we need to put a hedge of prayer around our wives' health. And wives ought to pray for their husband's health. And pray for their safety. We get on these roads and highways, I mean, it's dangerous. Your husband drives to work, maybe he just works close by. It doesn't change the fact that an accident can happen half a mile from your house. So we need to pray for safety. Pray for your kids' safety. Pray for your wife, your husband's safety. Your wife may work, or she may just be driving the kids around. I mean, but things can happen. We need to pray for their safety. I mean, even good drivers can get in accidents. You need to pray for that. I almost got in a bad accident yesterday. I'm a good driver. I wasn't looking down. The taillights were kind of dim. The cars all slammed their brakes on in front of me. And I just didn't register for about a half a second that his taillights were on. I slammed on my brake. My truck did like this and went into the other lane. And guy in the middle lane almost hit me. And thankfully, he wasn't looking at his phone because he spun around me. And I thought, man, thank the Lord. That could have been a bad accident of 4 or 5 cars. And someone could have got hurt. And so I thank God for safety. We ought to pray for the safety of our spouses. Pray for strength with their responsibilities. All right? Wives, pray for your husbands to have strength on the job. To have strength facing temptation. To have strength to be good fathers. It takes strength to be good men of God. We need to pray for supernatural strength. You pray for your wife. To have strength, especially if she's homeschooling. Okay, you need to pray for super strength. If she's working, okay, whatever. You need to pray that she has the strength that she needs for each day's work. Pray for wisdom. Pray that your husband will have wisdom. Pray that your wife will have wisdom. Oh, my husband's a fool. Have you prayed for him to have wisdom? If there's something important coming up, pray for them about it. Your husband has a project he's working on. Man, it's stressing him out. He's got to put a lot of hours in. Are you praying about that for him? Your wife has some big project coming up or something she's working on or something that's stressful to her. Are you praying about that with her? If your spouse struggles with something like anxiety or worry or whatever, Do you pray for them to be able to overcome such things that obviously bring suffering to the mind? Pray for them for help with that? Do you pray for their ministry to the Lord? My wife has a great minister. She was on the radio today. Well, she was red. Yeah, Amy Sapp. What's the name of that cup of joy? Helpers of Joy. Put her on the spot. And she has a little thing for women on, I think, once a week on Faith Music Radio. And Mrs. Raspberry wrote an article for her, and she read it online. This is from Amanda Raspberry. Her husband is James Raspberry, so that's how I'm known. I'm known as her husband. So are you jealous? Not anymore. She has the ladies' retreat. That's a stressful thing. That's a big deal. 400, 350, they came close to 400 once. Ladies coming from all over the place, a lot of different moving parts. Pray for that. Do you pray for your husband's ministry? I hope. I know she prays for me, and I need her to pray for me. Pray that we'll have souls saved. Pray we'll have ministry vision and strength and power to influence people for Christ. Now, let me point out one more thought. Let me say this also. Pray for your in-laws. That's your wife or husband's family. You may not like them. I'm just kidding. But you've got to pray for your enemies. Now, for many of you, that doesn't... I mean, many of you have great relationships with your in-laws, and then some of you have the proverbial in-laws. I mean, Shelby has great in-laws, man. What can you say? But honestly, I pray for my in-laws, my wife's family. I don't spend an hour a day in prayer for them, but I mention them right along with my parents. That's part of her life, and she loves them, and I like them. Y'all are not getting my humor tonight. I need my sign again that says I'm joking. Remember that? Some of you back in the old days, I had a sign of it that said I'm joking. Because my humor is so dry, people thought I was serious all the time. The thing is, I'm always hammering, and that's all of a sudden I tell a joke. It's like, what, are you done hammering on this? But you ought to pray for your in-laws and mention them at least in prayer and ask God to bless them. Now, one thing I want to point out about when we pray, and I'm going to mention this again, we are going to have a lesson on praying for enemies and problem people. Because the Lord actually told us to pray for them. Amen. But one thing we need to remember is here's a principle that we're to pray for people, not against them. Pray for people, not against them. As a rule, I want to be on the defense team, not the prosecutor's team. Jesus is our advocate. He's our defender. Satan is the accuser of the brethren. He's the prosecutor. I don't want to be on Satan's side. I want to be on the Lord's side. And so if I'm going to pray for someone, I'm not going to start listing all their faults and what I don't like about them, because then I sound like I'm the accuser of the brethren. I don't want to be on that side. I want to pray for people. So even when I pray for my enemies, I don't pray, oh God, this person is a real pain in the neck, and I wish you'd just deal with them and break them down. No, I pray these people are probably hurting. Maybe they just need your blessing. Maybe they're not even saved. I just pray that you'd help them to grow in grace and have a good day today. And if they're hurting, I pray you'd heal them. And I mean, I don't want to pray against people. I want to pray for people. That comes into your spouse as well. And I don't think husbands do this, but I do know wives do this sometimes. They make a list of all their husband's flaws, and they think that's their prayer list. Pray for your husband, not to try to get God to change everything you don't like about them. That may be one of the most important lessons people ever learn about prayer. God is not your bully. He's not your enforcer. Okay, you need to pray for people and not just against them. Now, I'm going to stop there tonight. I know this was nothing fancy this evening, but we know we should pray for our spouses. We know we should. And it's not hard. Tomorrow you're driving to work. How hard is it to remember your wife or husband in prayer? Dear God, bless my wife today. Help her with the kids. Help her with the responsibilities. Give her strength. Give her wisdom. Bless her ministry on Sunday. Bless my husband today. He's off to work. Help him to be strong. Help him to do his work. Give him wisdom to solve problems. You shouldn't even have to write these things down. It ought to just become natural to us on a daily basis to pray for our spouses. But I promise you, it doesn't happen because we don't pray. Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife. Because she was barren, the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived.